Well, Heather and I had a lovely walk this morning. I was wearing this new pink shirt she gave me. Hot pink lace with velvet trim and little pearl buttons. Now, this isn't the kind of shirt I'd usually wear. You've never seen me in this color before. What do you think?
Looks great.
We had a nice little walk on the Mesa, and then we went down terrace to the Surfer Outlook. It was really great. We take a walk almost every morning. And what do we talk about on that walk? We talk about how immediately beneficial human beings are. How that this is what we're intended and purposed for, that as our very nature, we hold a tremendous scale of immediate benefit. Yet most human beings live their life without ever knowing that this is the case. And how do we find out that that is the case in our own experience? It isn't through trying to cultivate or contrive benefit. It's via a very simple understanding. First of all, it requires that we re-examine our understanding of what phenomena are in general and how they come about. And that we take up another understanding of the nature of phenomena, and that is that all phenomena whatsoever are included and contained within awareness, and awareness is included and contained within the basic space of phenomena. And rather than continuing to look at everything as separate, coming to see that there really isn't a separation. The separation that seems to be the case is a separation that cannot be found to exist in its own right. When all phenomena whatsoever are subsumed within the basic space of phenomena, then all phenomena whatsoever are comprised of that basic space and are not capable of having any kind of self-generating characteristics. In other words, there's no phenomenon whatsoever that ever came about in any kind of self-generative way that is other or apart from the basic space of phenomena. All phenomena of whatever kind are subsumed within this basic space of all phenomena. Now, when we talk about something like this, it's just dry intellectual fodder. It's a description of... it's of interest, it's certainly interesting, but unless we actually have an experience of what these statements mean, then we can't really come to understand why this is a particularly beneficial philosophy. And so now I'll examine that a little bit. This is a particularly beneficial philosophy because, first of all, when we as human beings rely on our experience of ourselves as being based in awareness, then we come to see that we have a pure form of experience of ourselves as human beings. And this pure form of ourselves as human beings is in identifying ourselves with awareness rather than with the phenomena that appear within awareness. Now, most of us have trained ourselves to identify with the phenomena that appear within awareness. And what that means is we identify ourselves as our thoughts, our emotions, our sensations, and our experiences. And I'll just use a simple term to cover all four of those. Thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences could just simply be called points of view that appear within awareness. When we identify ourselves with the points of view that appear within awareness, then we believe those points of view are our identity, and that they have power to make us feel one way or another. So when we look at the range of our experience, we say, oh, well, I have some thoughts that make me feel good. I have other thoughts that make me feel bad. I have some emotions that make me feel good, other emotions that make me feel bad. I have some experiences that are good experiences, other experiences that are bad experiences, and the same with sensations too, some good and some bad. And then the drive of the life is to try to get more of the good and get less of the bad. But all the time, both the good and the bad are appearing in awareness equally. They're appearing in awareness equally without either being a benefit or harm. The benefit or harm we attribute to phenomena that appear within awareness are also points of view. So you see, when we say that one point of view is beneficial and another point of view is harmful, this is just an arbitrary philosophy we've come up with. It's a fashionable philosophy to look at everything and say, oh, this phenomena is beneficial and that one is harmful, and then create a whole lifestyle based on that, deciding what is good, what is bad, what is beneficial, what is harmful, what to accept and what to reject. When we live that way, we hold our minds and our being to a very minimal standard. It's a very, very minimal standard to take ourselves to be our thoughts, emotions, experiences, and sensations. And how do we know that it's a minimal standard? We know it's a minimal standard because there have always been human beings who have held themselves to a much higher standard in terms of what their mind is and what awareness is. And where human beings have held themselves to a higher standard, what they've identified themselves with is awareness rather than the phenomena that appear within awareness. And by gradually identifying themselves with awareness more and more over a course of time, human beings find that awareness intensifies in effect, and it is found to be naturally present at all times, night and day, as the source of all phenomena, no matter what they may be. And furthermore, once the grip on all the points of view that appear within awareness is let go, it becomes possible to see that all these points of view that appear within awareness, no matter whether we've taken them to be beneficial or taken them to be harmful, that they're all spontaneously appearing and resolving with nothing needing to be done about them. And so, whereas we've spent our whole life training ourselves to do something about the points of view that appear within awareness, we then find that nothing need be done, that they don't need to be changed at all. And that rather than that lack of doing being some kind of passivity, that lack of holding two points of view opens up a continuum of plenitude that we had no idea was present. We just absolutely had no idea that the continuum of plenitude of awareness was present at all. And why didn't we? We didn't because we've trained ourselves to focus on all the points of view that appear in awareness. When we identify more and more with awareness rather than with the contents of awareness, which are also awareness as well, then gradually, just like the sun appears and at dawn, and then gradually over the course of a number of hours, the sky grows brighter and brighter. Everything that's contained within the space of the sky becomes more and more visible. So too, when we identify with awareness, the sun of awareness it illuminates all the points of view that appear within it, and we see all the points of view much more clearly, rather than taking the points of view to have a power that is somehow self-generated by each point of view. We come to see that the only power the points of view have is from awareness. That's the only power the points of view have. Without awareness, the points of view wouldn't be. Now, it's also a crucial understanding that this awareness is synonymous with basic space, so there isn't anything that's self-generated, its own awareness. This awareness is intrinsic to basic space. When we gain familiarity with awareness, we gain confidence in that. And then we pass beyond the need or the desire to try to intellectually scrutinize phenomena in order to understand them. So this is really an enormous step, whereas the intellectual scrutiny or speculation about phenomena is a very busy activity. Gaining confidence in awareness is an effortless activity. It's a completely effortless activity. And not only that, the kinds of innovations we can come up with through intellectual speculation or scrutiny are very minimal and limited, no matter how great they may be, compared to the kind of innovation and creativity that can come from gaining confidence and awareness. Trying to rearrange points of view into some kind of intellectual understanding will always be completely minimal compared to the scale of benefit of awareness, and awareness that requires no thinking. So, for example, to try to find some kind of solution to a problem, for like the Great Freedom Movement, for example. The solution to that problem, it didn't come out of conventional thinking. It didn't come out of intellectual scrutiny or speculation. It didn't come out of that at all. It came out of the massive scale of benefit, the beyond massive scale of benefit of gaining confidence in awareness. Awareness is that which subsumes all ideas and conventions, no matter what they are, and at the same time is free of all of them. And from its vast perspective can see what's going on with everything. From its vast perspective, it has knowledge of all phenomena. It understands their relative importance as a description, something with a dictionary definition. It understands how each phenomenon might work with other phenomena to make it look like something's happening in a cause and effect relationship between them. But awareness is always forever free from all of these ideas about everything, cause and effect, time and space, no matter what they are. It doesn't take up residence anywhere. It doesn't need any kind of point of view university to go to try to figure out what's going on. None of that is necessary, and it also isn't even plausible. There's just absolutely no desire to enter into that terrain, and yet there's complete mastery over that terrain. In other words, a person who has gained extreme confidence and awareness can go into any kind of a setting where people are talking about anything whatsoever and be able to offer some kind of innovative solution there. Now, you know, that's truly extraordinary. So a person who has gained complete confidence and awareness could go into a setting where people are talking about cancer research or artificial intelligence or whatever it might be, and just, you know, sit there and listen to what everyone had to say, have absolutely no background in the area at all, and be able to contribute and innovate in some kind of truly extraordinary way. Now, you know, that is completely beyond the way we usually think about things. It doesn't mean that anyone there would understand exactly what they were having to say or contribute, but the person who had gained confidence and awareness could lead other people to an understanding of what they were talking about, because they'd be able to see why other people weren't able to understand their innovation. They would be able to see that it was because people were locked within certain frames of reference of points of view, that their innovation couldn't be understood, but they would have complete knowledge of understanding and compassion for everyone involved and be able to create a bridge of communication leading directly from their understanding to the innovation. And so, you see, this is very important for human beings to gain familiarity with the awareness that is the basis of all ideas about everything, because that's the only way to really move beyond all conventional ways of thinking into the area of extreme innovation that will allow us to form some kind of human community on a global level that we can all feel safe and comfortable in. Now, you know, last night I was watching the Jon Stewart show on TV, the Daily Show, and he's a newscaster comedian on Comedy Central, and his news commentaries are very funny, and they're also brilliant and pithy, and they're filled with extreme compassion. He cuts right through everything and in a very irreverent way shows how things got to be the way they are. So in this particular case, he was doing a piece called America to the Rescue. And he was showing how in the Middle East, America had come to the rescue of every single faction involved in the Middle East and given at least $15 billion worth of armaments to every single faction involved in the Middle East. And so that at one time or another, there was some kind of position being taken. But you see, as long as we continue on in this way, his point was that this is foolish. He was showing how foolish our actions are as human beings and how little of a system of checks and balances we really have for any of this that's going on. That we like to think we have a system of checks and balances, but do we really? So this is what he's examining. And so when we look at these pickles that we've gotten ourselves into as human beings, whether we're Americans or we're from some other country, it's kind of easy to see that it would be good to have an alternative way of considering some of the problems facing humankind and the planet Earth. We're not saying, the Great Freedom Movement doesn't say that we have to completely throw away the way of thinking that's based on point of view. What we're saying is that there is a formidable alternative. And this formidable alternative is the source of extreme innovation and extreme creativity that can unite all of us as a global human community, as well as come up with solutions to some of the big problems we're facing, like clean air, clean water, nourishing food for everyone, nuclear disarmament, complete disarmament of other forms of warfare like biological warfare and terrorism, so, you know, many things, environmental degradation. All of these are concerns people everywhere have. And for some people, for many, many people in the world, they're basic, very basic concerns about daily living, like where am I going to get clean water today? Or how am I going to get enough food to eat today for myself and maybe my family? These are very basic concerns. Yet within us we have this formidable way of being that allows us to be extremely innovative and creative. Now, we have to take responsibility for that as human beings. There's no one who can enforce it on us. Each of us has to take responsibility for seeing what there is about ourselves that can go beyond all the current ways of thinking. Take a firm stand in a way of thinking that is massively beneficial, and then go forth from there. Now, the way that we experience this massive benefit is in a very personal way. First, we experience it in a very personal way. And how we experience it is that we find that we don't need to get lost in our thinking, and we don't need to get lost in our emotions, that we have trained ourselves to do that. Just like Pavlov's dog, we've trained ourselves to get lost in our thoughts, and we've trained ourselves to get lost in our emotions. And when we just relax and no longer go into those stories of intellectual speculating or emotional speculating, then we find that we're free of that. We don't really need that to survive. We don't need to get lost in our thinking and lost in our emotions in order to survive. It may feel like our life depends on it, like we have to make sense of our thinking or by thinking some more, or we have to make sense of our emotions by figuring out who's responsible for them or what's responsible for them, and that we have to make sense of our lives by accumulating memories and saying that we are our memories. These are just all ways, fashionable ways of looking at ourselves, but there's something about us that's a lot more solid. And that is awareness, which is the source of all these points of view. When we gain confidence and awareness, it's as simple as just coming to a complete stop with the stories, no longer launching into the stories of points of view. And when we do that, then we come to see that awareness is inseparable from all of these points of view that appear within it. And they appear circumstantially. So whatever they are, they are. And whoever we are, we are. And so if from the beginning of our lives we've trained ourselves to think in certain ways and have certain kinds of emotional patterns, then those are the points of view that'll be appearing in our awareness. And when they do, it's important to not follow after them and not block them either. They will go their merry way. So just be happy-go-lucky. You know, happy-go-lucky. The points of view will do whatever they do. You don't have to follow after them any longer. When you don't, then you find that it's awareness, this basic space of all phenomena that is the source of everything. And in that you find a true brilliance to be able to deal with anything, yet you're free from everything. You're free from your own thoughts and emotions without being unemotional or devoid of emotion. You're free from your thinking without being devoid of thinking. This isn't where you find your sustenance any longer. You don't find your sustenance in stories based on thinking and stories based on emotions. The sustenance is in awareness, just a naked awareness that is the source of all these. And that's a completely carefree way of being, a carefree way of existing. Now, the more you see this is possible for yourself, the more you come to understand other human beings. You see that we as human beings have trained ourselves to believe that we are our thoughts and emotions and experiences. We've just trained ourselves to believe that. And that we see that we've untrained ourselves to believe that. And rather, we've trained in awareness, which is the source of all the points of view. When we train in awareness, we gain confidence in that. And then we can have a good life. We can have a very good life. Not only do we provide tremendous benefit to ourselves, but we also become capable for the first time of having good relationships with other people and providing benefit to other people and the planet we live on. And so most of us can't really conceive that we have within us the power to be immensely beneficial. We really can't conceive of that. The reason that we can is because we've trained ourselves to focus on all the points of view, just like a rat in a cage. If a rat's in a cage, then you can train it to come and sip sugar water. You know, and so that's what we've done. We've trained ourselves to think that the thoughts and the emotions are some kind of sugar water that can make our life better. And even when they don't make our life better, to continue to do it anyway is a little silly without examining the other alternative. Now, the other alternative is one where we step outside of who we've taken ourselves to be. And as we identify with awareness rather than the points of view that appear within awareness, we find a newfound freedom, clarity, joyfulness, happiness, and this is ongoing. It's ongoing and it intensifies in the form of continuous soothing energy, the intensification of continuous soothing energy in all ways, continuous soothing emotional energy, intellectual energy, physical energy. What could be better than that? Then, even though there may not be people who are sharing that way of life, we understand them completely in a very compassionate way. And yet, we don't live that way anymore. You know, we just don't. And we can consider ourselves tremendously fortunate. Tremendously fortunate. For some reason, we don't even have to know why or try to figure it out at all. We have been lucky enough to have this information be part of our life, whereby we could train ourselves in gaining confidence and awareness rather than in all the appearances of awareness. This is the ticket to a truly happy life. I will be in Europe, in very south Sweden, southern Sweden, from around November 10th to December 8th or so. And you can look at the website for the exact schedule if you want to come to the teachings there at our new Great Freedom Center in Europe.